So the history of marriage is God created Adam and he put him in the garden, and then he created Eve as his comparable helper, simply meaning that they are equals in dignity, value, and worth, but they have different roles. Men and women have different roles. Neither is greater, neither is lesser. Sin enters into the world and problems start. Husbands drop the ball, they fail to lead and serve and love their wives and families, and that negatively affects the way their wives look at their husbands because they do not want to respect men that don't really do what they're supposed to do. So the bottom line is this, though. Marriage is two sinful people coming together as one. So our marriages should bring glory to God, and the scriptures teach us how our marriages can actually bring glory to God. But there's three main things that are actually working against your marriage. And I don't know if you realize that. About a month or so ago, I talked about spiritual warfare. There's spiritual warfare, spiritual things working against your marriage. Satan and his demons do not want marriages to be successful, because marriage, as the scripture tells us, is a mystery, and it is similar to how Christ relates to his church. So there's spiritual warfare going on. There's culture. The culture that we live in is going against your marriage. I don't know if you realize that, but the culture that we live in does not support marriage as the Bible supports marriage. And the third thing is that your sinful nature, our sinful nature, is actually going against our marriage. So these three things are trying to destroy our marriages. So today what I want to do is I want to focus in on the first thing. I want to focus in on our sinful nature, or in other words, how we act and treat our spouse. So there's two primary passages I want to look at. We're going to look at a ton of passages today. The only one I want you to turn to is Ephesians chapter 5, which I asked you to do already. But the first one is the scripture reading today. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Then we look to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 22 through 33. It's kind of a lengthy passage, but I kind of think it sums up and helps us to understand the roles of husbands and wives in a marriage. So we look and we see, picking up in verse 22, it says this, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as a church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So these passages are not talking about the marriage structure, but they are also teaching men and women how the makeup of our spouse and how we should relate to our spouse and understand our spouse. So to sum up this passage, Ephesians 5:33 says simply, men are commanded to love their wives and women are commanded to respect their husbands. And this is not a negotiable. They are commands. Now, when you hear that, you might have some thoughts, because some of you women might think like respect, submit, like I don't like that stuff. And some of your husbands are like, okay, love, maybe I can handle that. But the truth is, how do we really understand this scripture? What's it really communicating? Now, some of you might have heard me reference this book before. It's called Love and Respect. Has anybody ever heard of this book? Okay, there's a book called Love and Respect, and a pastor and a counselor, his name is Dr. Emerson Eggerichs, wrote this book. And basically, through 30 years of marital counseling and pastoral ministry, he came to this conclusion based upon this Ephesians 5:33. He thought to himself, why are men commanded to love their wives and women commanded to respect their husbands, but they're not interchangeable? We don't see both as a command. Does God not want wives to love their husbands? Does God not want husbands to respect their wives? And basically what he came up with is this. He's suggesting that a man's deepest need is to feel the respect of his wife, and the wife's deepest need is to feel the love from her husband. So rather than looking at these passages the way that many do, that wives are subservient to their husbands, he takes the viewpoint that men and women are different and respond in different ways in a relationship. Now, you and I both know, just through life experience, men and women are very different, and they do respond in very different ways. So as he goes on, his premise in his book is this: without love to a wife, she reacts disrespectful to her husband, and without respect from a wife, a husband acts in unloving ways. And in his book, he calls this the crazy cycle. Some of you might have recognized this from your own marriage. You're like, yep, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like things are going crazy. I don't get the respect. I don't get the love. And we hear this all the time. And in all honesty, I have to say, through personal experience of talking to many people and many marriages and stuff, I see this so often. It's this simple truth. Women feel the need to have love from their husbands, and husbands feel the need to have respect from their wives. So today, what we're going to do is this. Today, men, you're going to learn how to be respectable men, and women, you're going to learn how to be lovable women. Does that sound good? I hope it does, okay? So this will help you if you're married or if you're not married. Because guess what? If you're not married, you want to be a lovable wife, a lovable woman, or a respectable man. So let's start with men and how we should act, okay? So respect is simply this: esteem for or a sense of worth of excellence of a person. Wives are commanded to respect their husbands. So husbands, here's your job. You need to make your wives make that easy for your wife, okay? So if you want your wife to respect you, what I'm calling you to do is make that easy for her. Wives, would you agree with that? This would be a good thing if my husband made this easy for me. So we're going to go through these points. A respectable man, first and foremost, loves his wife. Okay, the passage in Ephesians that we read said that men should love their wives, husbands, love your wife, as Christ loved the church. Well, what does that mean? Christ loved the church, meaning this: he laid down his life to pay the price for our sins. The Bible's clear when it says that Jesus took all our sins upon himself, laid down his life, was brutally crucified on our behalf, took the pain and suffering and the punishment on himself for us. The Bible says that Jesus did that, but then rose again 3 days later to prove that he was God. The Bible tells us this: all who believe will have eternal life. So the call for the husband is you need to love your wife like Christ loved us. That means you need to be willing to lay down your life for your wife. That's the first call of a respectable man. The second call of a respectable man is this: a respectable man has self-control. Proverbs 29:11 says this: a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man quietly holds back. See, a respectable man expresses his emotions in healthy ways and displays self-control. So when you think about it, and I'm not saying anger is just a man's struggle, but you know what? A lot of guys I know have short fuses, lose their cool, lose their temper. You need to issue self-control. The less self-control you have, the less respect that the people around you, including your wife, will want to give you. If they see that you're out of control and have no self-control, they're not going to want to respect you. I'll tell you this about self-control. Not only is Galatians says it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, One of the things about self-control that some of you might have realized is this. When you have self-control in one area of your life, it spills over into other areas. Have you ever noticed that? When you have victory in one area, maybe you're trying to get physically fit, you have victory in that, and all of a sudden you start to actually put those principles into other areas of life. Some of you might have heard me reference this before, but Dave Ramsey, he's that Christian financial advisor, and he said that when people go through his financial peace class, they'll get their finances in order. And he said he started to get emails and text messages and different things. And people said, you know what? I got my finances in order and I lost 10 pounds. And he's like, what in the world is going on? I got my finances in order and my marriage is going better. And he's like, what? And then he realized self-control in one area will spill over into other areas of life. Because here's what happens. When you have those little victories in those areas, you start to realize, like, this is possible. I can actually do this. So a respectable man has self-control. And now these things are good for women as well, but this is what, you know, we're talking to men first. The third thing is a respectable man works, okay? 1 Thessalonians 3:11 through 12 says this, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now, here's the thing. I want to make sure you understand this. He works if he can, okay? If you're physically unable, if you're a wife now, like, oh, good, I ain't cooking tonight, okay? Don't say that, okay? If you're not able to work, if you're on disability or something like that, obviously. This is talking about the man that's lazy, too picky to hold down a job, always has a problem with every job. See, a respectable man works. He just says, you know what? I have to provide for my wife and my family. I put my head down and I do what I need to do because they're depending on me and me providing and helping for the family. Which goes along with the next thing a respectable man does. He perseveres. Proverbs 24:16 says it this way, for the righteous falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. See, most women can respect a man that does not give up, especially when it comes to his family. They can respect a man who actually, when he fails, he gets up and tries again, keeps on going, doesn't give up, perseveres, keeps on going, doesn't give up. That's a respectable quality. He doesn't just throw his hands up and say, oh, I tried that, doesn't work. You know, one of the saddest things is when I see marriages that are on the rocks and a husband just says, eh, I don't even feel like doing it anymore. I don't even feel like trying anymore. Well, guess what? You're not persevering. You made a commitment before God and all those witnesses that you would love your wife until the day that you or she dies. That's what God wants you to persevere towards. That's what he's calling you to do. The next thing is a respectable man is generous. Proverbs 11:25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters himself will be watered. A respectable man is actually not greedy, but he's willing to help other people. A respectable man is willing to say, you know what? I have resources, and I'm willing to use those resources for other people. Just a spiritual truth around the resources that you have, you do realize that everything that you have is a good gift from our Heavenly Father, and he wants you to hold with open hands. Don't you realize that? So never get greedy with what's not yours anyway, what actually belongs to the Lord. See, a respectable man is generous. And notice that proverb says that if he waters, he will be watered. Do you realize that truth in your life? The more generous you are, the more God continues to bless. You'll never be in want when you're willing to let go of those things and willing to say, you know what? The Lord's work is first. Generosity and helping other people is so important to me. The next is a respectable man is humble. Proverbs 29:23 says this, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. Now, pride is not only a man's struggle, but many men struggle with pride, okay? Many men struggle with pride. So not many people respect prideful, arrogant people. Do you? I mean, think about it. Somebody who's filled with pride and very arrogant, they're not very respectable. A wife has a hard time respecting a husband that can never admit he's wrong, is always right, never backs down in the argument, never says, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong. And husbands, just a little side note here, just from personal experience, you're probably wrong more than your wife is, okay? Let me just tell you that, okay? And you husbands can't even laugh at that, but it's true. It's true, okay? So you have to be humble. You have to be humble. The next is a respectable man impacts the next generation. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says this, "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." A respectable man leaves a good legacy for his children. You impact the next generation. This is not something some men do that they just leave everything to their wife, okay? You know, our spiritual lives and all those things, you know, that's my wife's job. The church, the Sunday school, the devotions and stuff. Men, you have to step up. Are you reading devotions to your little children? Are you encouraging your teenage children to actually do devotions? Are you having an impact? Is faith just mom's thing but not dad's thing? This is where you have to step up. A respectable man steps up and says, you know what? I'm going to be an example for my children as well. I'm going to impact the next generation. My kids are not only going to look at mom as the spiritual one in the household, but my kids are going to look at dad and mom as the ones who are spiritual in the household. And then finally, a respectable man loves Jesus. Loves Jesus. Cares deeply about his faith and about his family's faith. Cares deeply about his relationship with the Lord. See, my prayer for you men in this church is that you'll all work to be respectable men. But wives, you need to encourage your husband to work on being a respectable husband. But I want to call on you to stop doing certain things that don't work, okay? That actually disrespect your husband. And the first is this, wives, stop comparing him to other guys, okay? Most guys, and I know guys will agree with me on this one, don't like when their wife says things like, can't you be more like so-and-so? Or so-and-so's husband does this, or says this, or is this. Guys don't really like that. I'll let you in a little secret, and I know all the guys will agree with me on this one. We don't really like that, and actually, here's what happens when you compare us to certain other guys. We start to not like those guys. Would you agree, guys? We're like, that guy again, okay? He's always, you know, showing me up, and he doesn't even mean to, but he is, because my wife's noticing. So stop comparing him, okay? What you might be doing when you compare him is you might be repelling him or keeping him away from a guy that might be a really great influence in his life. Do you realize that? When you compare him, he's not saying, oh, I want to hang out with that guy more. He's saying, I don't even like that guy. But if you don't compare him, he might find other men in his life that can be a positive influence on him. The next thing is stop reminding him of his faults and correcting him. See, wives see corrections of their husband as an act of love. Husbands see it as belittling and treating him like a child. There are two responses a man will have when his wife continues to remind him of his faults and correct him. The first is he puts up walls and has a whatever attitude. I can't live up to her standard, whatever. The second is he starts acting like one of the kids. He starts acting like one of the kids. Okay, mom corrects you guys, she corrects me too. What's the big deal? Okay, let's go have a good time. Okay, see, both of these options leave the wife feeling alone. Like she's the one kind of doing everything. Remember a few weeks ago when I talked about parenting, the one of the kids' dad? Remember that guy? Okay, this is what the guy turns into when his wife continues to remind him of his faults and correct him. The third thing is stop nagging him to change. Wives that complain and criticize rarely enact change in their husband. There's actually a couple of verses in Proverbs that actually says it's more comfortable for a man to live up on a corner of a roof than it is in the house with a nagging wife. Okay? I don't know what your roof looks like, but mine's pretty steep. I don't think I want to live there. Okay? Here's the thing. Nagging him to change does not work. Does not work. The fourth thing is this. Stop ridiculing him to other people. If he's a dope, what does that make you for marrying him? Just ask you that, okay? If you're like, my husband's a dope, it's like, well, I think you're a little dumber than he is, okay? Because you picked him. This is like the ultimate disrespect of a husband when you ridicule him in front of other people. Now, notice, all these things are disrespectful things to do. Now, some of you wives might be asking, like, what do I do then? Okay, you just knocked my four top things out. I'm going to help you, okay? How to communicate to your husband in better ways. And the best way that you can communicate to your husband and actually help your husband be a more respectable man is becoming a lovable wife. The way that you act and react to him will actually help him to realize what he needs to be for you. So now we're going to transition a little bit, and we're going to talk about the lovable woman. The lovable woman, first and foremost, respects her husband. As Ephesians says, wives should respect their husbands. Plain and simple. That's what God is asking you to do. The next is the lovable wife works on character. Now, do you remember the passage in 1 Peter 3? Paul actually reminds the women not to be concerned only about outward appearances. You remember this passage? It says, don't be worried about outward appearances, but work on the character. See, when you work on your character, when you work on your godly character, the character actually affects the outward appearance. Do you realize that? Have you ever met somebody that's like really just distraught, depressed, and stuff like that? It just kind of, it flows with just even the way they look. You can see them. And in the scriptures, we see this. Why is your countenance so down? Why do you look so glum? Why are you like that? And part of the reason why is what's going on inside is actually manifesting itself outside. So Peter actually says to the women, don't get so caught up in the outward appearance. Start with the inward and let that flow to the outward. So a lovable woman works on character. A lovable woman strives for excellence. A few weeks ago, we talked about this in Proverbs 31. It's the godly woman, the godly mother, the godly woman. She strives for excellence. Let me read Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. It says, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and no harm all the days of her life. See, everything she does, she gives it her best. You will never be perfect, but you can strive to be the best you can be in all areas. That will communicate to your husband, and that will make you more lovable in his sight. The next is this, devotion to her household, also found in Proverbs 31. This is the wife that puts the affairs of her household first. A husband loves to know that his wife cares deeply for what's going on in the home, for what's going on in the family, what's going on in the marriage. The next is, like the husbands, a lovable wife is generous. Proverbs 31:20 says, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. No one wants to be around a greedy, selfish person. A woman that shows goodwill to others is a woman that people love to be around. The next is the lovable woman impacts the next generation. Like the men, Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. If you have children, you take mothering seriously, it will have an impact on your children, but it will also have an impact on your husband as well. And finally, like the men, a lovable woman loves Jesus, has a strong, deep-rooted faith, and loves the Lord Jesus. So my prayer for you women is that you will work on being lovable women. Husbands, though, in order to encourage your wife to work on this, there are some things you need to stop doing, that you need to stop doing. The first is this, stop ignoring her feelings. 1 Peter 3, 7 says this, live with your wife in an understanding way. I don't know if you realize this, women love face-to-face communication. Okay, actually, Emerson Eggerich talks about this in the book, and the difference between men and women. He says, women are face-to-face, and men are shoulder-to-shoulder. And what he means by this is women can get together and chat for an hour and a half, 2 hours. They can just talk, okay? And that's fine. Men more like to do like hobbies and be together. So they're shoulder to shoulder. You know, a man will go fishing with one of his friends and then his wife will say, oh, you know, you were fishing for 4 hours. What'd you guys talk about? And he's like, not really much at all. Okay. Because they communicate a little differently. I still remember one of my surf trips that I went on in Costa Rica. We got in the car and we were driving 4 or 5 hours to the airport. And I just put my earbuds in and all the guys were just looking out the window and stuff. And I looked on my iPod. I was like, no one said a word for like an hour and a half in the car. Now women, 4 women in a car. Would that ever happen? Would never happen. Okay. It just wouldn't. Why? Because women are face to face. So men, you have to stop ignoring her feelings. She wants to connect with you by talking with you. She wants to share about her day. She wants you to share about your day. She wants to connect. And some of you guys struggle with this because you've been on all day at work. So you come home from work and you're like, you know what? I just want to eat some dinner, sit on the couch and just veg out. I don't really want to talk. I don't want to hear what the kids did wrong. I don't want to hear any of this stuff. I just want to kind of just veg out for a little bit just to kind of clear my mind. But in that, you're communicating to your wife that you're ignoring how she feels and what she desires to talk about. So you need to spend some time. Stop ignoring her feelings and really spend time face to face talking with her. The next is stop unhealthy communication. Things like silent treatment, yelling, maybe yelling at other guys at work works, but yelling at your wife and your kids, it's not going to work. Okay? It hasn't worked, and I know it hasn't worked because you can tell me it hasn't been working. So unhealthy communication. Study healthy communication. Make sure that you're communicating with your wife the right way. The next is stop expecting her to raise the children. Your partner's in parenting. She may have more time with the kids than you do, but that does mean that you don't do the hard stuff. That you make her do everything difficult. I always laugh when I talk to a guy and he says, oh, I can't do that, or I can't hang out, can't surf, can't whatever, because I'm babysitting the kids. I'm like, you mean you're parenting? Okay? You're not babysitting your own children, okay? You're their dad, okay? Don't expect your wife to do everything, okay? Your partner's in parenting. She might have more role in certain areas because she has more time with them, but your partner's in parenting. The next is stop being status quo, okay? Do something special for her. Proverbs 5:18 says, rejoice in your wife. Man, have you ever watched a movie that your wife picked out? You're like, oh, I picked out this movie for us, honey. And you know how this goes, right? You're like, oh, okay, you know. But notice the guy in the movie. Is he ever average? Say it's a romance. Is the guy ever average? He's never average. He's like the guy we don't like, okay? So here's the thing. He's smart, funny, creative, romantic. He's all those things. You know why your wife likes to watch that? Because that's what she likes, not a status quo guy. And most of you rose above status quo at one time to win your wife. Remember that? Remember that? You rose above it. Keep it going, okay? Don't be status quo. Plan surprises. Plan fun things. Be spontaneous. Be the guy that you can be, but you've chosen not to be because now you're married and life is kind of settled in. Stop being status quo. Notice, all these things are unloving to your wife. If you continue to do these things, they're communicating that she's not loved. Even though you would say, if you were back in the corner, no, I love her. What you're communicating is that you are unloving. So here are some questions that come up, though. Here are some questions. In closing, this is how we're going to do this. There are some questions. Okay, we found out about the lovable woman. We found out about the respectable man. Some of the questions are, first, what if he is not respectable? What if she is not lovable? That's a valid question, isn't it? you're thinking, yeah, you know, I can't respect my husband because he's not respectable, or I'm having a hard time loving my wife because she's not very lovable. Two choices. The first is find things to love and respect about them, or the second is to continue on the cycle that you're on. Okay? Find things or continue. Which do you want to do? The second question is what if you don't get the love? What if you don't get the respect? Some of us find it hard to love or hard to respect if we're not getting what we need. And I would agree, it's hard. But Matthew 5, 38 through 46, the sentiment of Christ's words says, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile even for your enemies. So if you're not getting what you need, that does not give you a get out of jail free pass to not give what your spouse needs. The sentiment of the scriptures is take the first step, which brings us to the next question is this. Well, who should go first? Who should go first? Okay, she's not respectable, respecting me. He's not loving towards me. Who should go first? And I always say this to couples when this question comes up. I say to the men, you go first. I say to the women, you go first. And then if there's a little bit of tension there, I say, okay, let the one who's more mature go first. Right. And some of you guys are like, it's obviously her. So, but here's the thing. Philippians 2 actually tells us the mature one should go first. The mature one should actually make these decisions and say, you know what? I'm not going to live like we're living. I'm going to step forward and actually start this. I'm going to start loving my wife. I'm going to start respecting my husband. That's what I'm going to do. So Christ's teaching is we should look at ourselves and not focus our attention on changing the other person. You get that? We focus on ourselves and changing what we have control over, which is ourselves, right? Self-control. And we don't focus on them changing. We focus on changing ourselves. So it's not your job to change your spouse. It's your job to be obedient to Jesus. And when you do that, you're going to treat your spouse in a way that brings glory to Jesus.